I would really like to welcome up Leah. Leah has been our gap year student for the last year. She's been helping out the youth work. She's also been working with Cribs. So we give Leah a round of applause as she comes up. Do you want, I mean, you can just stand next to it.
Okay.
Yeah?
No.
Like,
next to you.
There you go, you look like, you're about to sing for us, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So, Leah, how are you?
Good.
Yeah? I told you yesterday some questions I was going to ask you and I've now forgotten them. But, first question.
I know them.
Oh, do you know them?
What I like most about Cribs.
What do you like most about Cribs, Leah?
I would say definitely going into Hope. I've been to a Hope Community School once a week, which is like not normal. Actually, we're just going to schools like for one term and then... that's it, but in Hope School we've been there for like a whole year and I think that was really good because I learned to know the children, so that was my favourite thing.
And then what's been your favourite thing about working with me here at SBC?
You?
Me?
No, pay me later. I don't know, I think it was like learning to know the young people.
Yeah.
Getting to know them. Yeah.
Yeah?
I think that's it.
And what has been the thing you've most enjoyed about living in the UK for this last year? Or less
that was
year.
Not one of the questions
was
you
it not?
Gave me yesterday.
I thought I'd remember them all. What was it?
I don't know.
What's your highlight of the year?
I would say it was Lark in the Park.
Oh, so just happened. Had to wait to the end.
Yeah.
Nice. And what is one thing you're looking forward to about going back to Germany now?
I think like learning new stuff again. I was like here for 1 year and I spent my whole life learning something. I've been at school and now it's like 1 year I did like nothing. Mm. So I'm looking forward to learning new things again.
And what are you doing when you go back to Germany?
Educate. I'm gonna go to uni and study education. So I'm gonna be a primary teacher in the end.
For those poor children.
Thank you.
In all seriousness, Leah and I have quite a banterous relationship.
I don't know what that means.
We make fun of each other a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. And we joke around a lot, but this year's really been, I think, a lot of fun for us both.
Yeah.
Especially the last few weeks being at Larker Park together, I think people at Larker Park might question if we actually like each other at all. But no, it's been an absolute privilege to have you as part of the youth team, and you've helped out with so many other things throughout the year. You've been a real blessing to us as a church. So we want to pray for you as you
Thank
leave
you.
Us. Leah isn't gone just yet. She's around for a week and a half?
Yeah.
A week and a half more. So there's lots of chance for you to tell Leah how amazing she is. Not too much because she'll get a big head. But yeah, I was wondering if the leadership team would like to come up, if you're here, so we can pray for Leah together. You know you've got a sticker on your head?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Oh, full house. Wow. Go on, Leah.
Yeah, that's how special.
Can I just say, before we pray, Leah, we were going to do this next week because that's Leah's last Sunday and she just went, no, there won't be enough people there.
No,
so, that's why we're doing it today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Leah. I thank you for what a blessing she has been to this church and to the youth ministry in particular over the last year. I thank you as well for David and Teresa for hosting her for this year, for being her family away from family and for making her feel so welcome and at home in their home, God. And we just pray for Leah now as she goes back to Germany, that you would really bless her in her studies, you would really help her to focus on you as well as focusing on the work at university, and that she would find a really great church at university and she would really be a blessing to them, just like she's been a blessing to us, God. Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you so much for Leah. It's been so much fun and we've had many a laugh, and Lord, it's just been good to have her with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we know you've got great things prepared for her.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, as she commits herself to uni and looking to become a teacher, Lord, we pray that you would give her the skills, give her the love in her heart for the kids she's going to meet in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And may she know that you walk every step with her, Lord. And may she just trust you to lead her in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
To bless her, Lord. We long to hear good things, great things mm-hmm. that she'll be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Our God, I thank you that you have given us Leah for this past year. And thank you for the lives of the young people that she has touched, that they will know a difference in their life from what she has said and from her actions and her and the way she is, Lord. And I just thank you that you brought Leah to us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I do so thank you for Leah. She has really, truly blessed us. She's blessed me, I know, because of her personality and just the wonderful person that she is. She's full of fun, and she's so good around the children. So I just thank you, Lord, for all that she has achieved and all that she's done and the life that she's touched here at SBC and in the community. And I just pray for her safety and your protection over her in all that she do and all that she aspires to in the future, Lord. And these things I pray in your humbly name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Should we go?
Always nice work.
Yeah, always nice. Thank you. Amazing. So we are carrying on our series today called Staycation. And we're going to look a little bit about a time Jesus left one town to travel to another. But just to get us thinking about that, I was wondering, so this is my backpack. I don't drive, so whenever I go anywhere, everything I need has to fit in here. Otherwise, it hurts. And so everything I need in life is in this backpack. And I was just wondering if, given that you know that I'm a youth worker, and I don't know what else you know about me, but that's the main thing you know about me. Can you guess anything that might be in this backpack? Oh my gosh, Ryan W., what do you want? Paracetamol. There is paracetamol in there, yes. Paracetamol.
Chocolate.
What?
Plasters and chocolate.
No plasters, no chocolate.
Oh, nice.
No. There was chocolate in here earlier today, but I took it out.
Pen.
Leah.
Asthma spray.
Asthma pump. There should be. Asthma pump. There we go. What? I don't need those every day. But I do love football. Well, yeah. Hannah.
Keys.
Well, you did see me put stuff out of this and put it back in. I think these are some church keys. That'll count. There we go. Church keys. Anything else?
Sedative.
I did have medical tape in here earlier, but no sellotape, no. Katrina?
Bible?
No.
It's, not
it's the Bible's on my phone. Yvonne? No, I take those in the morning and then I'm fine. Emily?
Purse?
Yes, I have two. I'm so disorganised and so all over the place. So this is my main purse. And then I have this, which has like my Oyster card and stuff in it. And because I need to get it quickly to get on buses. Anything else?
Tissues.
Glasses case. Yes. Tissues? No. I think you think I'm more organised than I actually am. Irene?
Water.
No. Normally, yes. I don't know where that's gone. Just try and find that. Anything else?
Jumper?
No, but I have a packer mac because, you know, rain. And it also helps to keep warm. Anything else?
Umbrella.
Umbrella, yes, because rain. I don't like being wet. And if you don't have a car and it starts to rain, you really are like, yeah, you just get soaked. Anything else?
A tent.
Yeah, okay, there's a lot in here, but it's just not that big. Anything else?
Phone.
Yes. Phone. And there's something that always accompanies the phone. No, not that organised. Headphones. Yes. I genuinely don't leave my house without my headphones. And I'll talk more about that in a bit. Anything else? Any other ideas? No, not that organised.
Earphones.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Earphones. Anything else?
Snack.
So not a snack, but I realised this morning I have a ridiculous amount of mints in here. So I have some chewing gum, I have some hard mints, and I have some Polos. Just because, you know, you never know what your breath's going to smell like. Anything else? So some of the things that I always carry that you might not necessarily think of, I always carry SPF. Because I wear glasses, if it's sunny at all, my nose burns. Because it, like, reflects onto my nose. So I always carry Factor 50, stay safe. I always carry a bag for life, in case I need to buy something. I don't always carry this, but there is nail polish remover in here for some reason. I have along with the water bottle that I normally have in here, I have a slight addiction to Pepsi Max, so there's normally a bottle of Pepsi Max in there. I haven't drunk any of that this morning, by the way. That's from yesterday. I'm not that bad. Mum, if you're listening. And then I always have hand cream and lip balm in my bag. So that's the things I always carry with me. But sometimes I'll leave my house without my bag. It's very rare. But sometimes it happens. Sometimes you don't need a massive rucksack to go places. Sometimes I can put things in my pockets. And so when that happens, when all I need is the stuff I put in my pockets, there's keys, obviously. There's my smaller purse. But every time, without fail, I take these two things. And that's if I'm leaving the house with somebody, I'll take them and just put them in my pocket. If I'm leaving the house on my own, I take them. And I, before I even leave the house, I put my headphones in. And I'm a massive fan of podcasts, whether it be history podcasts, comedy podcasts, football podcasts. I love listening to podcasts. And so I always have something on in my ears if I'm on my own. And the main reason for this, because I really don't want people to talk to me, if I'm being honest. I like having my headphones in. I like having my head down. And if I'm going somewhere, I'm on a mission. And I do not want to be disturbed. And a few months ago, I was really challenged by somebody that this is not what I should be. I should be, you know, having my head up and looking around for opportunities to do stuff and to talk to people. And I thought about it for a while, and I went once without my headphones. I was like, you know what, I'm going to go out for the whole day. I'm not going to have my headphones. Not only did I get quite bored because I couldn't listen to anything when I was on my own on the train or on my own on the bus, but also, like, people kept talking to me. And I've noticed this, that, you know, growing up I watched a lot of rom-coms, and these women in these rom-coms would always have these really attractive men come up and talk to them. And, you know, they were all those, like, you know, really, like, meet-cute moments where you're like, oh, yes, finally. And I didn't get that. I got people who were drunk, people who were high, people who smelt not great. And so I was like, you know what, back to the headphones, head down. And actually, I think if we're being honest, how many of us, when we walk places, might wear headphones, might not, but a lot of the time keep our heads down, don't like to make eye contact with people, just in case they try and talk to us, if we're being honest. Or are you all a lot better? Thank you. This side of the room are on my side. You guys are amazing, but and so today we're gonna talk about this journey that Jesus went on. And we're gonna, instead of focusing on what Jesus does, we're gonna focus on what the crowd does around Jesus. So I'd like to invite up Yvonne to come and do the reading. And if you have a Bible, I think it's page 1015, but like I said, I think we're not going to have it up on the screens for the summer. So if you've got a Bible, page 1015, I think.
Yes.
Amazing.
So we're looking at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Thank you, Yvonne. Shall we pray before I start? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you speak through your word to us today, God. And I just pray that you would speak through me now and that we would open our hearts and ears to what you have to say. In your name, amen. So I have read this story a couple of times. It's a story that's always stood out to me. And it's always been kind of been around. It really spoke to my dad a few years ago, and he wrote a song about it. So it's kind of always been in our family kind of conversations and stuff. So I know this story really well. But the material that we're using for this this staycation series really looked at it from a different angle. And I think it'll be good to look at it from the crowd's point of view today. Because if you picture the scene, right, Jesus is walking along from one town to another. He always has this massive crowd following him. So there are people walking. The road is really dusty. So there's all this dust being kicked up. There are people shouting, trying to get Jesus' attention. There are people who are trying to touch Jesus. There are people who just want a bit of Jesus, right? And they're all around him, and there's this noise, and it's hot. And this beggar on the side of the road isn't anything special, right? It's so, so common in the culture of the time, and even today, to see people begging on the side of the road. Even today, it's not shocking for us to see, and in those days, it was even less shocking. And so there's a guy sat on the side of the road, and he's blind, and he's shouting so loudly, because can you imagine how loudly he'd have to shout to be heard above all the rest of the noise, right? So this blind guy is screaming, "Jesus, Son of David!" And they're like, "Shut up! You'll disturb him." And he's like, "No!" And he keeps going and he keeps going. And I really want to look at the crowd's reaction. Because this guy is desperate for Jesus. He's desperate to have a bit of Jesus. He's desperate to be healed by Jesus. And the crowd is embarrassed. The crowd is like, "Oh no, don't bother him. You don't look right. You're a bit messy, you know, because he's blind and he can't see in the mirror and he probably smells and all this kind of stuff. And he's a beggar on the side of the road." And they're like, "No, do not disturb the master. We don't want you to disturb him." They keep telling him to shut up. And that's how Jesus' followers respond, right? They are the people. They might have been following him for an hour. They might have been following him for a year. We don't know. But the people around him are responding by telling this guy that desperately needs Jesus to shush, to stop disturbing Jesus, all because he makes them feel a bit uncomfortable. The way he's acting, the way he's shouting, the way he smells maybe, the way he looks makes them feel uncomfortable. So they shush him. They try and get him to stop. They try and get him to stop shouting out for Jesus. But he won't be shushed. He won't be stopped. And he keeps going and he keeps going. And I think in life and as Christians and in a church community, there are some people. They might not be in church. They might be people who we know in the community. There might be people who we know in our lives who we don't really want to let them get too close to us following Jesus because they might embarrass us. They might make us think. They might make us feel uncomfortable. They might make us change the way we view Jesus. There are areas and groups in our culture and society today that they have such varying opinions on what they think on certain things that we don't want them to have a conversation with us about Jesus because they'll make us feel uncomfortable. They'll disrupt our image of Jesus and they'll make us think almost too much. There might be people with disabilities. There might be people who don't have the greatest personal hygiene. It might be the homeless. It might be beggars on the street. It might be people with different views about the LGBTQ way of life. It might be all sorts of people that we'd like, "No, I don't want you to be part of my church. I don't want you to be part of this group because you're making me feel uncomfortable." And so that's how the crowd reacts to Bartimaeus. They're like, no, you don't get involved. Just shush, stop talking. And he doesn't stop. And I think the thing that really stood out to me when reading this passage this week is that there are people who are screaming out for Jesus in this world. There are people who might not be doing it in the way we want them to be doing it. There are people that might not be doing it how we want them to do it. It's not neatly packaged. It's not in a box. It's not always how we want it to be. But they really need Jesus. I've been writing this preach every morning. So I've been at Lark in the Park every afternoon and evening. And in the morning, I've been writing this preach. And Lark in the Park, I've preached twice during, like, having to write it during Lark in the Park. And it always seems to align with what I'm preaching on. And there are some kids in the 360 venue who are, you know, I know everyone needs Jesus, but could they be a bit quieter? Could they annoy me a little less? Could they possibly just for once just shush? And I was helping a kid on the skate park the other day. And if you know me, you know I'm very accident prone. You know that I hurt myself quite easily. And so the skate park is really a great place for me to be a youth worker. You know, lots of skateboards flying everywhere, kids trying to do things they're really not capable of doing. Last year, in fact, when I was on the skate park, I got a scar on my leg, which I still have to this day. So, you know, it's a really great place for me to be. And there was this one kid who was just annoying me. Like, I'm going to be honest, I just wanted them to go away. I was like, you know, we were having a bit of time limit because lots of them wanted to do it. And I was like, when is his time up? Like, when is he going to leave? And I really, like, just remembered, like, I was just in the trying to teach him how to skate back and forth. I just remembered what I was preaching on. And God really said to me, like, he's annoying you, isn't he? And I was like, yes, God. Thank you for that revelation. And he was like, so is he like Bartimaeus? And I was like, oh, man, yeah. And in that moment, I was like, well, how am I going to show this kid Jesus? How am I going to say, how am I going to get you closer to Jesus? How am I going to get you closer? How am I going to get you up off the ground and towards Jesus? And so we had a bit of a conversation. It's really easy because as soon as they ask, what do you do for a job outside of Larkin Park? I'm like, well, I work for a church. And so we started talking about church and what he thought of church. And I don't know whether that kid believes in Jesus, but I do know now that he knows a little bit more about him. And it was just that thing of getting over my annoyance, getting over my aggravation at this kid that allowed me to have a conversation about Jesus with him. And so this crowd are telling Bartimaeus to shut up. They do not want him to disturb Jesus. They do not want him to be involved in what Jesus is doing. They don't want him to disrupt the crowd. Maybe there's someone more important having a conversation with Jesus right now. But it's Jesus that changes the narrative. Jesus changes how the crowd respond to Bartimaeus. He, rather than telling him to shut up, rather than telling him to go away, rather than telling him to, you know, go have a shower and then come back, he turns around and he says, what do you want? And the crowd change. The crowd suddenly, rather than telling Bartimaeus to shut up and to go away, the crowd go, oh, Jesus wants to talk to him. Let's get him up. Let's get him over. Let's get him to Jesus. Jesus is accepting of Bartimaeus, however Bartimaeus comes. He could be annoying. He could be shouty. He can be loud. He could be aggravating. And Jesus still wants to be a part of what's going on in Bartimaeus' life. And so Jesus asks Bartimaeus what he wants. And I think at that point, if I was in that crowd, I'd be like, well, Jesus, he's blind. What do you think he wants? But Jesus still gives him the privilege of deciding what he wants from Jesus. Jesus doesn't assume, Jesus doesn't force anything upon Bartimaeus. Jesus accepts Bartimaeus just the way he is. And Jesus would accept Bartimaeus even if he said something completely different to, I want to be healed. Jesus would accept Bartimaeus how he was. And Bartimaeus says, Jesus, I want to see again. And so Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Bartimaeus didn't have to go through any rituals like previous healings we've seen. He didn't perhaps put mud on his eyes. He didn't have to work hard to get his healing. His simple faith healed him. And it's just a short message today, but I just want to leave you with this. Are we bringing people closer to Jesus? Or are we putting barriers on them belonging to Jesus? Are we saying, you can come to the Father no matter what, and he's here to accept you and to embrace you and to love you? Or are we putting barriers on belonging? Are we saying, you can come to the Father, but can you sort this out in your life first? You can come to the Father, but can you be quieter? You can come to the Father, but can you be more acceptable to my church family first? Are we thinking that people have to look and act a certain way before they can be at home here? Because Jesus puts no barriers in front of Bartimaeus. Even his blindness wasn't a barrier to Jesus. But I think sometimes in life, if people don't fit perfectly into the box that we have, if people can't contribute to church life in the way that we think they should, we almost put them at a little bit of a step back from what we really want them to be. And Jesus, what Jesus is saying today is, everybody is welcome. Everybody that wants to be a part of my kingdom is accepted. And it's our job is to simply say, look, the master is calling. Get up, go to him, and he'll sort out everything else. We don't need to go through, even though Christianity Explored is going to be fantastic, we don't need to go through courses, we don't need to be qualified to belong. Simply wanting to come to the Father is enough for us to belong. Jesus is beckoning people from all different walks of life, from all different places around the world, from all different beliefs and sexualities and everything, and it's up to us whether we let them belong or whether we put a barrier in front of them. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing Cornerstone. And some of the words in Cornerstone are a little bit tricky. There's some things about veils and all that kind of stuff, but the basic premise is Christ is our cornerstone.
It's from him that all things are able to happen. And it's from his love, his strength, and his compassion for the people that are most outcast in our society that we are able to show them love and we are able to bring them to the Father. So I'm going to pray, and then Richard and the band are going to lead us in singing Cornerstone together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can do nothing without you. And God, I want to say sorry for the times that we have put barriers in the way of people belonging to your kingdom, God. We have put qualifications and ladders where it should just be an open door, God. I pray that we might be a people group, a church, a family that opens people with open arms, no matter what they believe, no matter what they say, God, no matter where they come from, God. We pray that everyone would feel like they belong here, and they feel at home here, and that they belong in your kingdom. In your name, amen.